Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez, and our special guest here...
I'm Sarah Ford.
Sarah, and we are wearing... Now, you gave me this.
Colson.
This is New Orleans Saints.
Saints.
Do you have a good Cajun accent or anything?
A petit peu.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so why are we wearing Saints, and especially for people that have no idea what the Saints are or, say, the National Football League?
Because hell has frozen over. Everyone should sell their houses and spend their savings because the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. Yes. This has been 43 years.
You are going, actually, right?
To New Orleans. I'm not going to Miami. I'm going to New Orleans because I want to be where the party is. I want to be in that number when the Saints go marching in and when we burn the city down.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
I cannot wait.
Now, speaking of this, you are actually transitioning teams now.
Yes.
So you are going to go work in the field and not be... Yes. See, a lot of people know you either from Tip of the Day...
The field, whatever the field is.
The field is, which means... Don't respond to your emails now. I'm sorry, you're not cool enough. No. So what are you going to be doing?
So I'm going to become a developer evangelist for Silicon Valley for South Bay.
Okay.
And what is a DE? That's usually the first question.
What would you say you do here?
So the way I describe it to people is that there's like a technical evangelist who is deep dive in the product. Like in a way, you could say I was like a technical evangelist for Coplex because anyone... anywhere around the world, Twitter, wherever they could find me, can send me a question about, hey, about Coplex, and I can give them an answer.
Sure.
And I also had that very big public persona associated with Coplex. However, for a DE, you're actually breath. So you don't focus really only solely on
one product. All things.
Yeah, so you kind of get like a 100, 200 level across the board. And then whatever like the big topics are, like Windows, Azure, you ramp up on those. And so I have a lot of ramping up to do. But the other thing with a D is that you have your community, like you have a region, and you spend the time in that region. So that would be neat. And it's South Bay, so there's a lot of open source down there.
Yeah, and gorgeous weather. And
yes,
you're gonna
imagine
see this
that
weird spherical thing burning in the sky. It's called the sun.
I'm going to have my natural skin tone back. I cannot wait.
Yes,
I hate Seattle so much.
We need to visit you or something. Yes. So that should be fun. So kudos and root for the Saints if you're not rooting for anything.
Who that? Who that say they're gonna beat them Saints? Who that? That's right.
And it's gonna be ridiculous. You know, we should really get a camera on you and have you like report directly from the Channel 9 reporting.
So
I'm standing here inside a fire and
so there's a Bourbon cam.
Yeah.
There are live cams all throughout the French Quarter.
Jim
Newkirk said a few months ago that I could keep the Coplex banner.
Yes.
Because wherever I went around the world speaking on Coplex, I would always take the banner and take a shot of it somewhere. And even if I was like jumping off a building, I had my little banner. But he said I could keep it, so it's going to go and party with me.
Nice. People are going to be like, what is
this? I don't know if that's about to make it fun. Actually, no, we're just like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what that says.
But woohoo! The Saints are in the Super Bowl.
Nothing else matters. But we got a lot of news. So a lot of tutorials and a bunch of stuff. And this first one is people interested in using Expression Blend. So it's a seven-part video series on learning Expression Blend. And the product team has a bunch of videos. I think these are sort of like, what's the right way to say it? Rather than being sort of like, how do I, it's here's the minimum things you need to learn or the central things you need to get started.
Yeah.
On using Expression Blend.
And there's a hotfix. I think it's either a service pack or a hotfix.
Yes.
Or some other download that you can install and get a connection to a Team Foundation server. Meaning, like, for me, it's like you can actually connect to a Coplex project if you with the Expression Blend, and so that's really cool.
Yeah, I think one of the things a lot of people always used to complain about the Expression Suite in general is Expression Blend was the lack of source control. Of any source control provider. So it's really nice that they at least have the ability to do this. And frankly, my feeling is I wish Blend was just in Visual Studio just because it's nice and not having to open two tools. But still, it's nice to be able to use Blend. So custom preloaders in Silverlight. So this is a fancy way of saying the splash screen on a Silverlight application, but... there's certain things you can do. So, you know, people load in a game like Halo. It has, you know, these slow-moving things. It has the music in the background. This shows you how to build your own custom splash screens while, you know, the big application's downloading. It has DLLs to download, blah, blah, blah. This is what you can do and what you can't do, because there's a lot of stuff you can't do because the application hasn't actually loaded yet. So definitely check out John's video. Sharing content on Channel 9. So this is a new feature we added. And one of the things we saw, and this is like the classic over-designing a feature, if you will, but we wanted to have 7 ways to share content. In fact, we were going to... People had always asked to add in more. Turns out most people didn't know the feature even existed because it ended up being in a drop-down, and there were so many, and they'd ask us to implement that feature. Hey, can you have a really easy way to just send this to Twitter? So what we did was simplified it, looked at the actual usage data, and it turns out the number one and number two were Twitter and Facebook. So we made it really, really obvious with the dedicated buttons for retweeting and Facebook sharing.
Yeah, that is the worst. When you have the feature and you've designed it and then people email you asking you, where is the feature? That is just the worst feeling. I mean, it's good that you can quickly solve their issue, but it's bad. It's like, yeah, we're going to have to go back and check out, like, what can we do to improve the UI and discoverability. So it's like, it's bittersweet. But yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah, making it much clearer. I'm so into UI design now after 2 years with CodePlex. But yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges. Did you ever face this with CodePlex? Like, one of the things people were asking for, like, what's a good example where people are asking for like a UX change that either existed or they're asking for something that made it really...
Well, the most recent one, and it's fair game, is we were running out of tabs on the I guess a tab channel, you could call it.
Yeah.
And because we wanted to add the documentation tab, so we had to drop one. And looking at like all the usage data that we had, like who's clicking on what across all like the spectrum of the 14 or 13,000 projects that we have, we found that the stat page would probably be the best bet to move. So like, okay, if we move this tab, where do we put it so that people find it? And who is going to use the stat tab? And we decided the project owners use stats more than end users of the product. And let's put it on the home page and make it the brightest button for the time being on the project side home, or the project home, so maybe people could see it. And we, I mean, now and then we get about like maybe once every 3 weeks on the CodePlex support emails that someone's like, hey, I can't find the stats tab. And so I'm thinking like we probably did pretty well if only a handful are missing it. I'm trying to think of another good example. Of course, I'm blanking out right now, but it's nice like when you can just quickly reply to that support mail and say, no, here you go, and send them on the way. But then I just record that into our backlog and say, okay, we got some issues here, so the next time, the way we do it, since we're agile, I'll just flag it as the next time we visit this page, what are some of the other associated issues, so that when we kind of retweak the design, I can tweak a bunch of things at once. Mm-hmm. So we're just touching that area.
Cool. Very cool. New video series launched. So this is Don Sein, the guy who created F Sharp, and he works in research in Cambridge, if I remember correctly. But Don Charles is doing a 3-part video series on Don Sein teaching F Sharp. So this is interesting for those people that want to learn F-sharp. And you were talking about Chris Smith, right?
Yes, Chris Smith. He's kind of a big deal. And he wrote a book.
And that's what he says, right? That's how he introduces himself.
No, you know, after his presentation at a CodeMash on how to be an evil genius using F-sharp, he deserves that title a little bit. But yeah,
He was my pick of the week last week.
He wrote a book with O'Reilly on F-sharp. It has a bird on the cover. And I'm like, Chris, why do you have a bird on the cover? Or what's the deal? And I guess he made this up. I don't know. But he said it's a bird singing to the tune of F-sharp.
Oh, nuh-uh. That's hilarious.
And I was like, okay. But only Chris.
So for people that want to learn F-sharp, either check out Chris actually on his blog did a bunch of the posting on that Evil Mad Genius Code Mash.
That was hysterical.
So...
It was a good talk.
It sounds like a good talk. This is via Greg Duncan, but it's the complete Windows 7 shortcuts. So I certainly have my favorites. shortcuts, but you were talking about one for Visual Studio 2010.
Yes, yes. So I had way back in 2004, I blogged. Let's start an online petition to get multi-monitor support. And that is probably the only blog post I've ever done in like the 6-7 years I've been blogging that I was actually kind of concerned about. But it had like overnight like 100 like comments about yes, we want multi-monitor support. And now in Visual Studio 2010, they have it that when you're in the file tab channel, you can actually take a file tab like a document and treat and pull it out and treat it like a tool window. Now, right. The cool thing is that once it's out, it will respond to Windows shortcut keys so that from the operating system. So if you do Windows key left arrow, it will, just like any other window,
it does
a snap. Yeah, so it'll treat it just like
take
any other window.
Screen,
so,
right.
So it's just like fine, because that was one of the things I wanted was to take a tool window or like a tool window or whatever window for the shell, for the IDE, and when it got close enough, like maybe 5 pixels away from the edge, it snapped to it.
Right, right.
And that was one of the ideas I always had, so it's very cool to see that you can actually snap.
Yes, I think it's going to be a lot better, too, when folks start thinking about all kinds of... The two things would be, this is related to our next post, too, is touch-enabled applications and better thoughts on shortcuts and multi-monitor, because I think everybody's using multiple monitors these days. And touch, I think, and this goes to our next article, which is the Windows 7 gesture recognition, where you can have touch on everything. So you start looking, because I have monitors in my office that I'm looking to replace. Mm-hmm. You can get just touch-enabled, not the actual PC, just touch-enabled for like between $200 and $400
wow.
a monitor for 24-inch monitors, which is pretty good. The question is, how good is the touch and the tracking mm-hmm. and stuff like that? But I think it'd be awesome just to be able to, you know, I could do the pinch in to you know, a Visio diagram or whatever. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or maps, scroll in, scroll out.
Yeah. Maps, pictures, any sort pictures. Of thing where you go from, like, high detail to low detail. Or even in a code demo, if you're browsing a big file, you know, gestures to make it smaller and then zoom out. But then again, you can always use the mouse to...
Or like the presentation. Like, if you wanted to drill in on something, bam, grab it.
See, and it's just fun, too.
Yeah.
But this library, what it allows you to do is, if you're building those applications, it takes the Windows 7 information for multi-touch and helps you do the gesture recognition. Meaning, like, I did this, therefore, I now have, like, the set of points for where the finger was tracked, and this is probably the gesture that I meant, and therefore, you know, rotate the image, for example. So it has a series of gestures and how it actually... finds out what happened and taking the previous next in terms of the points that it gets sent, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're building touch applications, this is going to be handy. And here's a CodePlex project that I didn't know about. It's a virtual router manager. Basically, what it allows you to do is any Windows 7 machine, you plug in, say, a network cable or it gets a Wi-Fi, you can turn your machine into a Wi-Fi hotspot. So this is free open source on CodePlex, but very cool. Now, this is I think, one of the coolest ones I'm doing. I'd love to see this for our upcoming Windows Phone, so that way you can turn any phone into a, basically a hotspot. And that's one of the things Larry Larson, our team, was like, hey, yeah, you know, we should do this. This is apparently all in C#, but it does require Windows 7. Now what's kind of like, what's your hot favorite or cool CodePlex app?
I was looking at the number of downloads here because I know I've seen it come across because I try to keep a good pulse on the top 10, top 20. And here's the view detail stats, what I was talking about when we removed the tab.
Yeah.
The stats, we put it here as hopefully someone that's looking for it will see it since it's activity right there. My favorite project on CodePlex that's in the top 10 is... it's the image resizer. I forget the exact title, but it's in the top 10. And it is an extension to Windows Explorer. So let's say like you download an image, and of course you want to email the image, but you don't want to email it to MEC file. So you right-click on the image in Windows Explorer, and then one of the options is resize. You click it, a submenu comes out, and it's like small, medium, large, or whatever.
Custom,
and you click on that, bam, you have the small image, and you can send 20K instead of the 2 meg.
Oh, nice.
I love that thing, and so it's in the top 10.
Very
it's
nice.
Like a PowerToy Windows, or PowerToy Image Resizer.
Okay. We'll include it in the links.
Yay.
And this is Jason Zander talking about Visual Studio 2010, speaking of things you'd want to zoom in and zoom out on. And it's the way to visualize a dependency graph. So Jason walks through, like, hey, let's. He uses the tailspin travel example that Jonathan Carter built. But clicking on an assembly, click a button, and you can actually see the visualization of where all the dependencies are, whether it's on a framework or whatever. And I think one of the other interesting parts, and obviously you can drill down in multiple levels, one of the other interesting parts is he talks about the visualization is done in this, and I hope I get it right, it's like dependency graph markup language, DGML. It's basically a text file that describes the dependencies, and these are auto-generated by Visual Studio. So what that means is third-party vendors can build extensions to the editor that use that DGML file to visualize all sorts of crazy things or keep track of, do sort of the a timeline view of your dependencies over time, all sorts of interesting things that you can do with your project so you can see how your project grew from being, you know, usable to unusable. That's pretty cool. Definitely check that out. And which brings us to extending Visual Studio. So this is a sister team, you were saying?
Yeah, it's a sister team. We're Coplex 6 in the MSDN organization because of running a website. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the Visual Studio galleries were run by a peer of mine on the program manager team. So the devs and PM and Tess, we all share common managers. Someone told me... sister team, they refer to everyone as in the org chart as like cousin, neighbor, or cousin, aunt, uncle. I'm like, grandmother. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I guess this could be like a brother to me.
So this is a
brother PM.
This is Wes Hutchins, who, by the way, looks like Peyton Manning. I don't know. By the way, did you do the
Peyton? Yeah, a little bit.
He's actually in my Microsoft Bloggers, the movie where. I had you as, I forget the woman, her name escapes me right now, from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, dude. I am Sarah, what's her name from? Roseanne.
Oh, yes, the sister.
Yeah, the younger sister. Sarah,
I don't remember her name.
Oh.
I want to say Darlene?
Yeah, it was Darlene, but her real life name is Sarah, and I forget. But we are like identical. Like,
all right.
Yeah, because I sent
you. Did
you
change your avatar or your picture for Doppelganger Week on Facebook? Are you familiar with?
No, what's this?
So it's Doppelganger Week on Facebook, and it's basically you put the person that you look like, the famous person that you look like.
Oh.
Yes. So everybody's changing it. Brian Keller, who is not with us, put Neil Patrick Harris. And he is out marrying his brother, and he's performing the marriage ceremony, not actually marrying his brother.
Yeah.
But, anyways, moral of the story is, if you have, let's get back to this actual point is, if you have published an extension in Visual Studio Gallery for Beta 2, your extension is going to be unpublished automatically, and that's because they're getting ready for the RC, and they're only accepting RC because of the changes from beta 2 to RC, and you can read Wes's post and tell him whether he does, in fact, look like Peyton Manning or not. So, and one thing on the Windows Azure team, they just released a new SDK. I think they're now starting to charge for their service in February, if I remember. Yeah. And another cool thing is Windows Azure Drive, which basically allows you to mount a drive and you can share files and you can use all the NTFS and ACL things that are familiar. You can read all about this in the Windows Azure Drive. So you're going to be doing Windows Azure stuff, right?
Definitely for my region, yeah. I'll definitely be doing some... I'm curious what I've gotten myself into with the developer evangelist role. I know there's a lot of conferences and public speaking involved. So yeah, I've been touring around. So what I did was I wrote the Hudat app on Azure and basically it just aggregated tweets and RSS feeds and Hudat Nation, local TV stations, because every single day during the season I would just go and check 100 different websites what's going on, and then I was like, okay, that's it, I'm just going to aggregate it all into one place and then share it.
Hilarious.
So I thought it would be awesome, I would have the first Hudat app on the cloud.
So you built your first cloud application. You have built, okay, cool. Very cool. All right, so this takes us to Picks of the Week. So my pick of the week is the top 20 Xbox Live games for 2009, and one of them is, that I think we've talked about before, is a game with zombies, and it's basically an annoying zombie-sounding game, but it made over $112,000, or actually in gross sales it was $160,000, so... there's another RC game that built $100,000, so a lot of cool stuff going on for Xbox Live in the indie game section, so I thought that was cool. And, of course, your pick, well, be the weather person here.
All right, how do they do it on the Weather Channel? I've only watched, like, hurricane season. Like, what, how many years have I been alive?
Can you, right, can so you do now, this without actually looking?
We're seeing that the low is dropping in, and there seems to be a strong breeze and some shocky waves coming across. Drew Brees and Shockey.
Winds at 99 miles per
Jeremy
hour.
Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. So, I'm a Miami Hurricane, so I know Jeremy.
Let's see. And which Super Bowl title is this? No, that won't work. There's a category. How many wins? Category 5 Hurricane coming through. Well, category 9 for the strong breeze that's coming in. Yeah. And yes, we see that it's supposed to make landfall at Miami. Yeah, sometime about Saturday.
Sunday p.m.
And,
awesome.
But we believe that the it will continue to maintain at least category strength once it crosses the landmass, and then it's going to regain its energy and come flying right back into New Orleans because we are partying, regardless of what happens. But we are partying when the Saints return because it's a custom to always meet the Saints back at the airport, and they're just expecting so many people that they say, okay, that's it. On Tuesday, we're going to have a parade.
Well, you will have to send us pictures.
Yes.
We want some pictures, and of course they have to be PG-13. So we
always. That's what my private Facebook is for.
I gotta get on that one.
Yeah, no, you don't.
So that is everything. Thank you for appearing on this week on Channel 9, and go Saints.
Who dat?